B-Pod Studios.
This is it. Your one gut, maybe far-fetched sounding prediction for golf this year.
Tiger Woods will win a golf tournament this year.
Stay with us and we're going to show you how to take dead aim.
Take dead aim.
The importance of taking dead aim.
Welcome to Taking Dead Aim, a show dedicated to the game of golf and the people who play it in the Carolinas and around the world. Taking Dead Aim is a presentation of Neogenyx Stem Cell and Regenerative Therapies, where all you have to lose is pain, and Greater Golf Express, the golfer's paradise. And now, here's your host, the guy using your member number at the snack bar, Charlie Nance.
Hey there, once again, we're Taking Dead Aim, presented by Neogenyx Stem Cell and Regenerative Therapies, where all you have to lose is pain, and Greater Golf Express, the golfer's paradise, where you can get prior generation tailor-made TP5 and TP5X golf balls for $39.99 a dozen. GreaterGolfExpress.com or Centrum Plaza Pineville. I'm Charlie Nance on Twitter, at CLT underscore golf guy, and this week puts a wrap on the year for us. And in terms of a gift, anyone have anything better than seeing Tiger Woods just 9 months clear of that horrible car accident that left the future of his right leg in jeopardy, much less his golf career? Suddenly, Tiger reappearing in competition, albeit in a hit and giggle with his son Charlie at the PNC. I get that. I don't care. I don't care if he shanks every ball. Just to see him swinging on a course again and enjoying the company of his son in the game. That's enough for me. It was at this tournament last year that we last saw Tiger play, and it may have been the first time I could ever sense real, palpable joy from him in the process as he shared the stage that he has held to himself so long with his son. I am really looking forward to the PNC. As far as the show this week goes, I want to revisit one of the more interesting conversations I had this year with Dr. Bob Rotella on the occasion of him publishing his latest book, Make Your Next Shot Your Best Shot. There's not a more renowned or better sports psychologist in the business, and especially in the world of golf, and it was a thrill to speak with him. Then we'll wrap things up with 10 predictive questions from our resident PGA Master Teaching Professional, Nick Jacoby of Stonebridge Golf Club. And some of his answers, I'm going to warn you now, they are wowzers. So let's get started. Here's Dr. Bob. Dr. Bob, first off, I've dog-eared so many pages in your book. It's probably a bad idea that I've read it because I'm just going to keep reminding myself of things over and over again. But at the core of it is a theme of belief to me. Is belief in self something that you either have or you don't? Or can you teach someone to believe in themselves and their abilities?
Well, there's no doubt about it that you can teach it. And because basically belief is just your thoughts about yourself. Your thoughts about yourself as a golfer could be very different from your belief about yourself as a student. So it's very task specific. And are some people born with it? Probably some people are born with it. I mean, probably some kids are really precocious and they get really good at golf at the age of 5 or 7. And it makes it probably easier to believe in yourself. But a lot of kids, they're late bloomers and they have to really work on developing their confidence because they didn't have the constant early success. But there's no doubt the easiest way to get it would be to be unbelievably successful at every age, starting at a very young age. But not many people have that experience, so we have to work on it. But when you understand that it's your thoughts about yourself, and what I'm always explaining to people is, in terms of winning and shooting low scores on the golf course, it's like, well, you have to have self-belief. If you only have swing confidence, then you only play well when you're absolutely pure in it, which is about 15% of the time. You know, even for a tour player, it's probably 40% of the time at best. So, I mean, that's where you need self-confidence. And, yeah, it's a big, big piece of the puzzle, that's for sure.
Can you teach the value of hard work and practice? And I bring that up because three people who you chronicle in your book over and over again that intrigue me, and these are three people who were overachievers but extremely hard workers, and that's Patty Harrington, Tom Kite, and Pat Bradley. All of them were not the first name on the list. Patty was not even on a list. But they just had this work ethic about them that was unbelievable. Tom Kite tells a story in your book about his dad and mom dropping him off at the golf course at 9 a.m. and he'd play 18 holes of golf. And then his friends would go swimming for a couple of hours. And he decided that, you know, chipping and putting and working on his golf swing was more important for those 2 hours. And then when they got done swimming, they go do something again that afternoon out on the golf course. Is that something that is either in you or it's not?
Well, no, I think you can learn it. That's for sure. I think, but it begins with, do you have a vision? Do you have a dream of something you want really badly? And if you really have a strong idea, because all your dreams are your ideas of what you want to do with your life. If you really want it badly enough, then you're going to do whatever you have to do to get it. And the people you mentioned, it took them quite a while to put it all together. And the problem is we live in a culture right now that tends to really want to constantly praise child prodigies or people who came by it readily or easily. I think that's why, you know, it's wonderful that we have a Ben Hogan, you know, who was getting beaten by, you know, Byron Nelson all the time, even as a caddy. It's like a Kite losing a Crenshaw as a kid, or Podrick losing everyone, or Pat Bradley. But, I mean, I think it's why people like the Michael Jordan story, because, you know, he got cut as a sophomore. I mean, and he made himself into a player, and he has a level of intensity. And that's, I think these guys take a lot of pride in the fact that it came hard to them. And it took a lot of, the words I use is, you got to have discipline to sustain it. Because if you come by it the hard way, you're going to go backwards, you're going to get stuck, you're going to have tough times, you're going to struggle. And a lot of it is, can you delay gratification and stay persistent? Because if you can't delay gratification, then you're not going to stick with it long enough before it starts falling into place. And usually for those people, they're hanging around other kids who don't put as much time and energy into it and are beating their pants off every day. And it's really easy to start questioning yourself. And that's where, you know, I think the greatest cop-out in the world is to say, I just don't have enough talent. And people say, why? I go, well, because you have to play with your talent every time you go to the golf course. So at some point, you have to love your talent and believe that you can make up for it. Like a lot of guys will say, well, I'm not as physically talented as somebody else, but I have real talent, and real talent is in your mind and your heart and your soul, you know, and somewhere inside of yourself that no one can take a picture of. But we tend to want to, in our culture, define talent by how big someone is, or right now in golf, how far you hit it. And actually, real talent is what's inside of people. Even the people that are prodigies, the ones of that group that become great, have a lot of this stuff on the inside, but the game came easier to them. But I mean, if you want it badly enough, you're going to just keep persisting, and you're going to make mistakes. You might try teachers that don't work. You might try ways of swinging that make you worse, and then eventually you figure it out. And it's complicated, this game. I mean, I love the name of your show. You know, I knew Harvey fairly well as a result of my relationship with Tom Kite, but I mean, I think what happens in the game of golf, and I always compare it to basketball, which I played in college, and it's like, well, when I was 10, I bought Bill Sharman on shooting, and there's never been a book written that doesn't agree with how Bill Sharman taught shooting. In golf, you could go to a different teacher every day for the rest of your life, and you'd probably get a totally different idea of how to swing with a different language, and you can get very confused. And at some point, you have to believe in a teacher and believe in what you're doing and stick with it long enough to start getting results.
It's interesting you bring up basketball. I come from a basketball background as well, at a pretty high level. And I always talk about that really the only thing that translates for me from golf to basketball is foul shooting and putting. In that, when you're taught foul shooting, you're taught to have a ritual. When you go to the line, you know, for me, it was three dribbles, spin the ball, deep breath, exhale, shoot. And that's what I did every time that I took a foul shot. And putting is somewhat the same thing. You do the same thing each and every time. And I guess there's, you know, you could have a ritual routine for every shot you take as well. Do you find that there are other corollaries between those two sports?
Well, first of all of my players have a routine like you were describing on the free throw line with every part of their game. It might be a different routine for their driver versus pitching versus putting, but they have a routine, and once they're on the golf course, it's like doing that process or that routine becomes more important than the outcome. I mean, it's kind of like when you were at the free throw line, you just knew if you went through your routine, you had a real good chance of it going in, so you didn't really have to think about the outcome. You just went through your routine and shot it, and then everyone told you what a great shooter you were. So, I mean, everybody has that. What was the second part of your question?
Well, no, that was it. Do you, were there other parts of that game that you find that translate to golf? Or
yeah, I go back to the first talk I ever gave on golf, which was with Sam Snead, Kerry Middlecoff, Paul Runyon, Bob Toski, Jim Flick, and Davis Love. And they started talking about golf is a lot harder than other sports because it's not a reaction sport. And my immediate reaction is, well, then that's why I teach people to make golf a reaction sport, because that's what makes it easier. And they looked at me like, what do you mean? I go, well, there's no rule that says you have to take time between looking at your target and starting your swing or your stroke. They said, no. And we had a wonderful discussion about it, because I want to make golf more of a reaction sport. I want people to react to what their eyes are looking at. So Take Dead Aim is great, because I want people to have nothing in the world exist but where they want the ball to go. And then I want you to let a swing happen in response to that. It's kind of like when you were driving to the basket in basketball and someone fouled you and you're falling on your butt, but you kept your eyes on the rim or the square of the backboard, and you were falling, your eyes stayed on your target the whole way. And sometimes it went off the heel of your hand or something and you made it. But that's how target-oriented we want golfers.
The book is Make Your Next Shot Your Best Shot. Dr. Bob Rotella is our guest, Taking Dead Aim. I want to talk with you about the relationship between dreams and goals in the game of golf. There's a great section near the beginning of your book where you talk about, I think you gave Tiger Woods as an example, that on his bulletin board, or it was always brought up to him, that his goal was to beat Jack Nicklaus's record of 18 majors. And your thinking was his goal should have been to win 30 majors. And that way, if he comes up just a little short, he wins 26 or 27 majors. And, you know, his goal was to beat Jack's record of 18, and he's come up short at 15. And I thought that was an interesting thing, that perhaps we don't set our goals or we don't dream big enough.
Yeah, and what's fascinating about it is we live in a country that prides itself on the American dream. And which really means that you can basically dream up anything you want. And certainly some people do. And I certainly wasn't suggesting that Tiger was a
failure. No, that I worded the example horribly.
Yeah, well, the whole point is, I mean, that Tiger may have been more talented than Jack. I don't know. But, I mean, it's possible that Jack's standard was too low for Tiger. And what I keep reminding people is, you know, Did you like coaches who had big ideas and talked about winning championships? Or did you like coaches who said, you know, if we could just be decent, it'd be a pretty good year. You know, if we could be 500 this year. And everyone would want someone who believes that they can do incredible stuff. And in golf, it's like, it's amazing how some players say, oh, if I could just play in college, and then they die once they get to college. Some say, I just want to get on tour, and they get on tour. And they don't last long. Somebody else says, I just want to keep my card for the next 10 years, and then I'll be set for life. And they finish around 125 every year. And somebody else says, I want to be in the top 70 or the top 40. And someone else says, I want to be the best player of the year this year. And someone else says, I want to be the greatest player in history. And a lot of the point about Tiger is, even if Tiger fails, because he set his ambition so high, he'll end up the second greatest major champion winner in history. And that's a pretty darn nice place to be.
Who are some modern players who fascinate you right now? I know in the book you mentioned Bryson DeChambeau several times, and I find him to be maybe the most fascinating person we've seen in golf since Tiger. There's so much about him that I find so intriguing, and I find him to be one of the braver people in terms of sport that I've seen in a long time.
Yeah, what you love about Bryson is he just wants to find out how great he can get at golf. And he's trying to explore everything and understand it. And when he goes out on the golf course, though, he is as freed up as a human being could be. I mean, it's not like he's thinking about science when he's standing over a golf shot. I mean, we're standing over that driver. He's just looking where he wants to go and ripping it. And, you know, he plays fearless golf, which is fantastic. I mean, I've worked a lot with Justin Thomas, and, I mean, he impresses the heck out of me with how tough he is. I mean, he can obviously shoot low and win, but what really impresses you is how great he plays when he's got his B or C game, you know, where the ball's not going where he's looking, and his ability to finish in the top five or six, even on weeks where it's not that good. I mean, he's really developed a toughness and a persistence on the golf course where he just keeps fighting and finding a way. And I think that certainly impresses people. It certainly impresses me. This kid who won this week, I spent quite a bit of time with Sam Burns. I mean, he's a pretty impressive kid. He's going to become a great player, would be my guess, just because, first of all, he's got a lot of self-belief. Second of all, he's got a lot of talent and hits at a mile, and he can really putt. And, you know, those are qualities that are pretty helpful in today's game. But, you know, it takes all kinds. And, you know, that's what's cool about this game is you don't have to have a general manager believe in you. You have to believe in yourself. And you don't have teammates to save your butt. You got to go do it on your own, which is why a lot of guys are attracted to it. If they want it badly, they don't have to worry if they have teammates who don't care and don't want to practice. It's like you can go do this on your own. And if you shoot good scores, they can't stop you. That's where it's different from basketball.
I have a theory that I'd love to bounce off of you, and I've been thinking about this for a while. In golf, in any athletic endeavor, well, really in any endeavor in life, if you look at those that are the uber successful, the elite of the elite, do you find that if you just did a little bit of research, that at some point they had to make a decision that was 100% selfish, that may have cost them some things in their personal life? But for them to reach that next level, and anyone who reaches that level has to have a certain level of selfishness that, quite frankly, a lot of us aren't willing to be. Do you find that to be the case?
Yeah, no question. In this new book, Make Your Next Shot Your Best Shot, I mean, I really try to bring that out. That, look, these people don't see themselves as making a sacrifice. When adults start telling them, like, wow, I'm so impressed with how dedicated and committed you are to getting great at golf, their attitude is disciplined, dedicated. That's like when my mom or dad asked me to mow the lawn or make my bed or wash windows or something. You know, this is what I love doing. I don't even look at this as work. Most of them would say, you know, somewhere in my teen years, I decided I wanted to be a pro golfer. It's like they didn't want a real job. You know, in their mind, they've been, you mean I can make a living playing a game? And so, I mean, this is just what they love doing, and they can't wait to get up every morning. Like you mentioned, Padraig. I mean, it doesn't matter if he wins or plays lousy. He can't wait to start practicing again the next morning. And, you know, I suppose Lombardi would have called it, you got to be an everyday player. And I think, you know, it's like Tom Kite would say, you got to love the game all of the time. If you can only love it when everything's going your way, then you don't really love it, you know? And I think that's what really separates these people. And I think the other thing that's kind of where the title of the book comes from is you have to be able to get lost in the present moment. I think your point is right on. I mean, you really can't be overly concerned with what other people think about you when you're practicing or playing golf. It's like you're on a mission. And it's like you have tunnel vision, and you're like lost in your own little world that you create, and you're just having a ball chasing that dream, and in your mind it's going to happen and going to come true, and you don't care how long it takes to get there. And, yeah, I mean, and you're going to have a lot of other people say, I don't think so, or what makes you think you could be that good, or where'd you get that crazy idea? And their usual response in their head, at least, is, well, I can see it in my head. It doesn't matter if you can see it. And, you know, their attitude is, well, I'm going to show the world. And for many of them, you know, it's like they thrive on people telling them they don't have talent or they're not good enough or they're never going to get there. You know, the more people tell them they can't do it, the more motivated they get. And I think that's a big part of what it's all about.
Make Your Next Shot Your Best Shot, new book by Dr. Bob Rotella. I could pick your brain and talk all day, but I can't afford you. Let me get you out of here on this. You have worked with so many players, and your name pops up all the time over the years in the game of golf. Don't mention any names, but have you ever made the decision on your end that this just isn't working? I can't work with this person anymore.
No, I don't think I've ever made that decision. I have had to have some very hard sit-down conversations with two people who I said, you know, if you continue to want to be miserable and negative and fail more than I want you to be happy and upbeat and succeed, you know, you're making this into a contest. At some point, you're going to have to come along with me. So, I mean, you know, sometimes you have to really pull and drag people. And some people just, you know, I've run into people who seemingly want to convince you that they're not going to make it. And, you know, so, I mean, some people just give up on it. And that's, you know, it may be, you know, their decision. I'm very into free will. So, I mean, I'm not going to tell someone not to stop. But I'm always reminding people, you know, what if you give up a week before it all falls into place and you were destined to become a great player and you quit on it a week too early? And so, I mean, you have to have some pretty tough conversations at times with people, because in my world, you have to be really honest with people, because this is a really honest game. You know, it's probably one of the most honest things we'll do in life.
His new book is Make Your Best Shot Your Next Shot, a must-have on your shelf if you're a golfer or if you're raising one. And really, all that he says in there applies to success in life as well. That's Dr. Bob Rotella. And up next, we take dead aim at the changing of the seasons, both on the course and in life, and how the two relate, with our resident PGA Master Teaching Professional and the General Manager of Stonebridge Golf Club, Nick Jacoby. First, though, how about one last trip by the Greater Golf Express Halfway House? Visit the Golfer's Paradise to get prior generation tailor-made TP5 and TP5X golf balls for $39.99 a dozen. GreaterGolfExpress.com or Centrum Plaza, Pineville. It is a great stocking stuffer this year for that golf guy or gal in your life. Make your next shot your best shot. That's Dr. Bob Rotella. And when we return, we continue our annual tradition of 10 predictive question segments with our resident PGA Master Teaching Pro, Nick Jacoby, as he takes dead aim at the 2021-22 professional golf season. And that means we've reached the Greater Golf Express Halfway House on the show this week. Visit the Golfer's Paradise to get prior generation TaylorMade TP5 and TP5X golf balls for $39.99 a dozen. GreaterGolfExpress.com or Centrum Plaza, Pineville. It's an absolute spin machine. It's the new Callaway Jaws Full Toe Raw Face Wedge, and it's designed to give you the best control on wedge shots, chips, pitches, flops, bunker shots, and full shots into the green. And it's available at Greater Golf Express in Pineville or GreaterGolfExpress.com, only $169.99. You know, fall is the best time of year for golf, and Greater Golf Express is ready. Go ahead, shop the big box store. You'll think you're in another galaxy. Then come back to Earth with these specials. Tour Edge Hot Launch 521. Irons, right hand only, 4-through pitching wedge, $489.99. TaylorMade TP5 and TP5X prior generation golf balls, $39.99 a dozen. Get a free lesson from a certified PGA pro with $200 purchase. See store for details. And Greater Golf Express has the Cleveland Launcher XL drivers, fairway metals, hybrids, and irons in stock. Can't get them at the big box store. You need it. Greater Golf Express has it. Located in Pineville next to Home Depot or GreaterGolfExpress.com.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
We're taking dead aim, presented by Neogenic Stem Cell and Regenerative Therapies and Greater Golf Express, the Golfer's Paradise. Nick Jacoby is our resident PGA Master Teaching Golf Professional and the General Manager of Stonebridge Golf Club. And his 10 predictive question segment this year, Hang on.
All right, my friend, 10 predictive questions for the 2021-22 wraparound golf season. All right. True or false, in the next year, at least one big name, and we kind of talked about this a couple weeks ago, at least one big name, a top 30 player on the PGA Tour, will announce plans to play on that rival LIV Tour that's backed by Saudi Arabia. True or false?
True.
I say it's going to be a filler Tiger Woods, yes, towards the end of the year. Yeah.
You're not just saying top 30. You're saying one of the top two biggest names in the game are going to back it?
The only way that league is going to make it. You got to get one of the two big fish, yes, towards the end of next year, about a year from now. Yes.
If everybody has a price, what is the price of two people for whom the world is their oyster?
Well, first off, the two people have the most leverage is Tiger Woods and Phil Mickelson. Imagine if they pay them who knows amount of money. You mean to tell me the PGA Tour still would not allow Tiger Woods or Phil Mickelson to play golf? So if anyone can pull it off, it would be them. Money-wise, they don't need money, but I don't know I don't know where you start.
I don't either. But that's what I'm talking about. Bold prediction right there from Nick Jacoby. All right, question two. Also true or false? Because of the new influx of cash on the European, now DP Tour, yep, will we see less of European stars like Rory, Victor Hovland, etc. on the PGA Tour, or are they too ingrained?
They're too ingrained because most of them live over here anyway because, yeah, I see it's not going to affect them one bit.
No. Now, will this allow them to develop stars again on that tour like it was 20 years ago?
Absolutely, yes. But again, Rory lives here in the United States, married an American woman, so he's not going anywhere. Ian Poulter lives in the United States, so that won't affect them.
Okay, this question has had to change because with the first couple of 10 predictive question series we had, Tiger's video hadn't come out yet. We've seen Tiger hitting golf balls once. How many more times do we see video evidence of Tiger hitting golf balls before we actually maybe see it with our own two eyes?
One or two times max. So he, you know, Tiger's a very private person. So he did just to he did that, I think, just to show that he is capable of hitting golf balls. So I would say one or two times max, and then we'll see him tee it up within the next 6 months. Absolutely.
You think we'll actually see him on it? Wow.
Absolutely.
Okay, Phil has now won four of his first six starts on the PGA Tour Champions. Will this be the year that we see Phil tee it up in a senior major? And if so, which one?
Yes, and I think it all depends on the schedule. I'd have to look at the schedule to tell you exactly. He'll tee it up in almost all of them if his schedule allows it, because you know what? Phil likes to win. Obviously, he has status on the PGA Tour forever, but he will tee it up, I would say, pretty much all of the senior majors as long as it doesn't overlap a major on the PGA Tour.
You know, we were looking the other day, and people were saying, but in first place is only $350,000, $400,000. Well, and not only that, but to win that on the PGA Tour, that's like finishing fifth, fourth, or third. And Phil, you know, on a regular event, you mean to tell me Phil's going to go out and finish fifth, fourth, or third on a consistent basis?
Right. Plus, he never won the U.S. Open, so I'm going to say he'll definitely tee it up in the Champions U.S. Open and probably win it several times.
See, I thought so, too. You know, that was always the thing that got me about Tom Watson. He never won the PGA, but he won the senior PGA.
Yeah, that happened with Phil.
All right, question six, 10 predictive questions with Nick Jacoby. Nelly Korda had a fantastic year. Will the LPGA be able to capitalize on having an American as that tour's best player in terms of marketing her, growing the game, growing their appeal, or is this going to just prove to be another outlier of a season?
I think it'll help a little bit, but again, it's dominated by the Asian women. There's no questions asked. So I think the only way that would help the LPGA, if the PGA Tour somehow gets involved, I hate to say that the PGA Tour has no obligation to do that, but if they can somehow piggyback off what the PGA or the PGA can help them somehow, some way. So I would say very little.
You know, everybody talks about this, and I agree to a certain extent. The key to the growth of the LPGA is getting them on network television. And I'm not talking about cable, the Golf Channel. I get that. They get great coverage on that. But getting them on the NBCs, the CBSs, the ABCs of the world. And I think to do that, though, there has to be that charismatic figure. And Nelly could be, but they've got to get people behind her. You've got to get some marketing people behind her. You've got to get her to commit to being that face.
100%. And, you know, she's a very attractive female on top of that. So that definitely helps because sex sells. But again, she's going to have to be the face of the LPGA going forward, all over commercials, all that fun stuff. So I hope it happens, but I struggle to see it happening.
The PGA Tour has followed the USGA in adopting the local rule that no driver can be longer than 46 inches. What is the next move to be made to, quote unquote, combat distance? And will it happen in this next year?
It will not happen anytime soon, but the fastest way to reduce distance is real simple. Just make a bigger golf ball. A bigger golf ball goes shorter distance. So if they want to combat it, Jack Nicklaus has been saying this for years, just make a bigger golf ball. You can make it a quarter of a centimeter bigger and you're going to reduce it, 10% distance wise. So I don't think it'll happen by outside of the driver distance, but the next step would be a bigger golf ball.
Do you think that one of the next things that's going to happen is they're going to go after the anchoring of the putter to the arm?
Yes, that's the next piece of the puzzle. The putter is a never-ending issue. They're going to somehow attack that again. Yes.
Not
that it matters.
That was my thing, is that I don't really, of all the things that I care about or don't care about, putting to me is a completely separate animal. I don't care if you get down like a pool cue. If it gets in the hole, it gets in the hole. And whatever works for you, works for you. I just didn't see the point of them going after it in the first place.
I agree. But again, if they're going to push it where you can't anchor the long putter in your body, so they're going to have to address the anchoring in the arm.
Okay, here are the four major sites this year. Augusta National, of course. Southern Hills, the Country Club at Brookline, and St. Andrews. These are old school venues for the majors this year. With that in mind, do you think we see more players adding to their major totals, or do we see more first-time major winners?
More first-time, just because of the depth of the field. I had lunch with my buddy Brendan DeYoung the other day, and prime example, he goes, when I first came out on tour 20-plus years ago, he said, about a third to half the people were capable of winning. He goes, every person that tees up in a PGA Tour event right now can win. So I'd say you see more first-time winners.
Well, and I think Morikawa showed me that not only are these guys ready to win early, but they've got the mettle to win the big tournaments early.
They're not scared. I mean, they're just the level of play from junior golf to college to mini tours, obviously Korn Ferry Tour and PGA Tour, is so good. So they're ready and roaring to do it as soon as they get the opportunity.
At the end of the day, when we look back on things, is that one of the things that we look back and we have to give Tiger Woods credit for, is how much he brought to the game in terms of athleticism and interest, in that he left the cupboard far more full than he found it?
100%, no questions asked. I mean, he was he started the trend, and all these kids are working out at a young age and getting stronger and hitting the golf ball farther than ever. So, yes, Tiger Woods deserves all the credit.
One of the great streaks in golf is DJ's consecutive season winning streak. Now, he just barely kept it intact by virtue of his fall Masters win in the 2021 season. Is this the year that streak comes to an end?
No, DJ is obviously a top five player in the world by no questions asked. So I'd say DJ will probably win, one to three times, no problem. So that streak will continue.
All right, and last but not least, this is it. Your one gut, maybe far-fetched sounding prediction for golf this year.
Tiger Woods will win a golf tournament this year.
From Stonebridge Golf Club, that's PGA Master Teaching Professional Nick Jacoby. A reminder, the video component to his weekly visit, 2 Minutes with Nick Jacoby, online now at foxsportsradiocharlotte.com, or just click on the link on our Facebook page. I'd also like to thank Dr. Bob Rotella. His book, Make Your Next Shot Your Best Shot, is a tremendous stocking stuffer for that golf guy or golf gal on your list. He is the best sports psychologist, specifically in the world of golf, in the business, and I could talk with him all day. Speaking of our Facebook page, follow us on Facebook. Just search Taking Dead Aim. Give us a like. Posted there now links to articles on the latest goings-on in and around the world of golf. And weather-wise, we kind of reached that weird point in December. Could be cold, could be warm, could be rainy, could be not. But no washout for sure, and plenty of great weather for letting this game continue to haunt your soul and break your heart. And if you do put a peg in the ground, not just the weekend, but anytime between now and 2022, I want you to remember to exhale, swing, pose, and keep in the short grass. I'm Charlie Nance on Twitter at @CLT_golfguy, and I'll see you right here next year, Taking Dead Aim, presented by Neogenic Stem Cell and Regenerative Therapies, where all you have to lose is pain, and Greater Golf Express, the golfer's paradise, where you can get prior generation tailor-made TP5 and TP5X golf balls for $39.99 a dozen. GreaterGolfExpress.com or Centrum Plaza, Pineville. It's an absolute spin machine. It's the new Callaway Jaws Full Toe Raw Face Wedge, and it's designed to give you the best control on wedge shots, chips, pitches, flops, bunker shots, and full shots into the green. And it's available at Greater Golf Express in Pineville or greatergolfexpress.com, only $169.99. You know, fall is the best time of year for golf, and Greater Golf Express is ready. Go ahead, shop the big box store. You'll think you're in another galaxy. Then come back to Earth with these specials. Tour Edge Hot Launch 521 Irons, right hand only, 4-through pitching wedge, $489.99. TaylorMade TP5 and TP5X prior generation golf balls, $39.99 a dozen. Get a free lesson from a certified PGA pro with $200 purchase. See store for details. And Greater Golf Express has the Cleveland Launcher XL drivers, fairway metals, hybrids, and irons in stock. Can't get them at the big box store. You need it. Greater Golf Express has it. Located in Pineville next to Home Depot or greatergolfexpress.com.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.